Final hour with Richard Austin as we talk about the coming of Armageddon and China, the grand illusion that deceived the world, both of his books and his website, thecomingofarmageddon.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll get you his Twitter feed because he wants to be able to send you some updated messages when the time comes. And we'll be back with him in a moment as we talk more about the Book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, Revelation, you name it, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final hour here with Richard Austin as we talk about Armageddon and China and this tie-in together. So let's get back to Jinping. So he's just the front man for this group. I've been told, Richard, that there are about 75 people controlling China. Have you heard that number?
I have not, and I think that is an excessively large number.
Really? You think it's just a few?
It's a very small clique.
They've been there for a long time in control?
Well, what has happened is the Chinese Communist Party does not really control China anymore. They're just an administrative group. The power now lies elsewhere.
Who? Where?
Well, first of all, let me say this about Xi Jinping. Oh, and before I say that, I'll just quickly run this past you. In our prior discussion 3 years ago, I mentioned to you in passing a fellow I met in New York who was connected to the Chinese embassy. And I got to know him quite well, and then he went back. And he would contact me periodically, and he rose very quickly in the government. And then I didn't, at the time of our prior discussion, I hadn't heard from him for a while, and I figured he can't communicate with me anymore. Well, he did communicate with me, and I ran past him a number of things that I have in the book that I was not 100% sure of.
Okay.
And he confirmed them, including about Xi Jinping.
Really?
Yes. He shares my opinion. And he says what he and I think of Xi Jinping is not commonly known, even among very high-ranking communist officials. But he says he's come across enough information that he agrees with me completely, and he frankly was surprised that I figured that out.
Is this person Chinese?
Yes.
And he's not concerned about talking to you?
Well, he has developed a very ingenious way of communicating with me.
Ah, let's not give it away then.
See, it's not, and whenever I get a communication with him, I read it twice and I destroy it. So I can't possibly endanger this guy. He's a really nice person and he wants to leave China and escape to the West. The problem is he's too important. He can't just walk out the door, get on a plane, and come to California.
Is this country aware of him and what he could bring to the table?
No, I've never discussed it with anyone. Frankly, I didn't think I was going to hear from him again.
You would think our CIA would want it, or Homeland Security, or something like that.
Well, if he can get over here, fine, they would. But I don't think he can get out.
He's trapped?
Well, you see, he's so important that he's constantly in need of making decisions. There are people who work for him who are constantly around him. He can't just get on a plane and leave.
Richard, how do we know that some of these leaders in China, these people, the puppet masters, I'll call them, aren't, wealthy Americans and, globalists who are trying for this one world government? How do we know that they're not them, too?
Well, the people that run China are devout communists. They despise the West.
Are they all Chinese?
Yes. China is a very insular type society. They view, I regret to say this, their they're very admirable as far as their brilliance. They're a very creative people.
Oh, absolutely. And their country is run like a capitalist country. I mean, you know, you run into Chinese people in Las Vegas or Los Angeles or wherever you are. I mean, they're freely spending money and having a great time.
Now, I will tell you this, and it's a very interesting point in the book. I refer to them as the Grand Masters of the International Chessboard. The way they have manipulated the political and economic system of the world to their advantage is an amazing phenomenon. Their planning, their thoroughness, their relentless determination, they have just used the United States as a complete flunky.
Interesting.
They have drained us of a trillion dollars per year.
Let's hope they don't checkmate us, huh?
Well,
on this international board.
Oh, this was the point. They are losing. They invented this brilliant game under Deng Xiaoping, and they've played it perfectly for 35 years. They are now losing control of it. And that's why you see time is running against them.
Now, when you said losing control, who's taking control?
Well, circumstances are working against them. The overambition, the structure of the international economy, the U.S. dollar, they have been able to exploit the system by manipulating their currency relentlessly. That's been a key component. But you see, they've had to borrow so much money denominated in dollars. So they cheapen their currency to make their exports stay inexpensive in spite of the tariffs. But that makes it more difficult to pay back the loans.
Well, let me ask you this. Why does anybody want another Third World War? I mean, what do they accomplish by doing this? It's going to be full retaliation, isn't it? What's left?
Well, you have to understand the mentality. All of this goes back to Mao Zedong. The Han people view themselves as the great people of history who are not appreciated by anyone and who have been taken advantage by the global community. They want their revenge. The war is to establish and give the Han people their rightful place on the face of the earth.
Even though their country could get annihilated in some kind of nuclear exchange?
Well, you bring up very salient points, George. I'll give you an example. Did you know that beneath 38 of their key cities, they have excavated gigantic bomb shelters in the granite?
Yes.
Rock?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming, Richard, that their justification is, so if everything gets annihilated, we get it, Russia gets it, the United States gets it, we'll still have 50 million people left over to run this planet, and it's all ours. You think that's how they're thinking?
Well, if they don't view themselves as losing a billion people, they probably figure they're going to lose maybe 200 or 300 million, and that doesn't bother them at all. Mao Zedong had a very interesting conversation with Khrushchev, and he mentioned that figure, that number of people. And at that time, Khrushchev got on his plane and went back and said, "We're not cooperating anymore with them on nuclear weapons."
Exactly. Scared the living daylights out of him. Let's take some calls here for you, Richard. They're lining up like crazy. Let's go to, we'll start with Robert in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Robert, go ahead, sir.
Hi. I was wondering if the guest could please encapsulate the final secret of Fatima, the one that the Vatican buried for decades. What is the Pope so terrified about, and did they alter its real meaning so as to keep it hidden? In other words, is the real meaning still hidden?
Interesting question.
Well, Richard? I think it's an excellent question. I'm delighted the caller brought it up. He's referring to the third secret.
Right.
And people always thought the third secret was the important one. It's not. It's the second that predicts, gives you an actual narrative of coming events. The third secret, the first and the third, are more of a symbolic character. They're like vignettes illustrate certain aspects of the second secret. Now, the thing that has troubled people is the so-called figure in white. People thought that that was the Pope, and that Mary was predicting that the Pope would be murdered. Well, it's not the Pope. In fact,
no, you're right. And the Pope ended up getting wounded, but a lot of people thought that was the third secret.
Right. Well, the figure in white is a generic holy man, and he's representative of the fact that all religions would be persecuted by the Marxist-Leninists. They now have 3 million Uyghur Muslims in camps. They're sterilizing the women, and so it's not just they've shut down all the Christian churches, obliterated pictures of Jesus, and put in its place a picture of Xi Jinping, whom I must say is not the most handsome person. So, but in answer to this question, the third one has caused so much dissension because people were afraid it talked about murdering the Pope, and it doesn't. So.
All right, let's take some more calls. But that final third secret, of course, does it talk specifically about a third world war? You were talking
that's
about
the second. That's the second one.
Okay.
Now, and I make a very big point of this. The language in the second secret, not only does it speak of additional wars after the First World War, but it specifically states that a number of nations would be, quote unquote, annihilated. That word is the most important word in all the three secrets, because annihilation only comes about through nuclear weapons. You see, if you go to a thesaurus and look up synonyms, the strongest word you can use is annihilated. It means literally reduced to nothing. In the Second World War, all kinds of cities were damaged, bombed, gutted, but only two were annihilated. So the question is, Mary specifically speaks of entire nations being annihilated. Now, I touch upon some of the military strategy. And if you read that, you can pretty much guess what I think of the nations that are going to be annihilated.
Well, and
they are going to be right on the front line between Russia and China.
That would be us.
No, actually, China doesn't want to exchange nuclear weapons with us.
They shouldn't want that. I mean, they'd be annihilated, too.
Well, they just want to, you see, they don't want us to get involved at all. But they will, I believe, initiate an anonymous preemptive strike on Washington, D.C. after they shut down the internet, global communications, and everything else.
And, Richard, let me ask you about time. When do you think this could all be?
Boy, have you just hit the $64,000 question.
I sure have.
It has bedeviled me for the last 5 years. It has caused me more trouble. I have now reached the point where I feel I have a very accurate estimate of when the war will occur.
All right, I'd like to hear that. Because, you know, every past culture and civilization has thought they were in end times. All of them did, and of course, never happened for them.
Well, as I say, one consideration is how their grand gambit, the game they played with the economic and political system of the world, is they no longer can control it. So their time to initiate the war is getting shorter.
What's the date, in your opinion?
A lot of people have come to me, and they say, well, what do you think? 5 to 10 years.
That's what you think?
No.
That's what they tell you?
That's what the common reaction of most people who really look into this say. There isn't that much time left. I'm reluctant to give out a specific date because I might change my date.
It is changeable. That's true.
But it's less than 5 years. Let's put it that way. It's not tomorrow, next week, or next month, and it's not 5 years from now. But you do have a time frame there. And one of my purposes of having that Twitter page is that in the book, I do leave some little crumbs along the way that give you hints as to when it's a probability that the war will occur. But with the Twitter page, I can provide additional information.
Okay. So those little crumbs will lead us to the house.
Well, I hope they don't lead you to the bombs to my house.
Let's take another call from Diane in Brooklyn, first-time caller. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm on this show.
You made it.
Yeah, I really... You're amazing. Now, what do you think about what Trump is doing, you know, standing up to them and you know, about the patents and the money change and all that and the sanctions? What do you think about that? Do you think that that's helping defy them? Or?
Interesting question, Richard.
Actually, a superb question, because Trump is the first person who realizes how dangerous they are and what they are intending to do. And I'll give you two examples. They were about to take over the crown jewels of our semiconductor industry, including Qualcomm. And they employed all kinds of stratagems to try and get hold of it. That is, if they had that could make it very difficult for us to fight a third world war.
Interesting.
So another thing is this Huawei. You've heard about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Huawei is in the process of taking over the world's 5G telecommunications.
It's huge.
They also, you know, I mentioned about China being able to shut down the internet. 90% of the internet traffic of the world travels through fiber optic cables under the sea.
That's true. Hold on for a second, Richard. I'll have you wrap up that thought when we come back on Coast to Coast with final questions in just a moment. And welcome back. Our final segment with Richard Austin. And Richard, we'll finish up on Diane's in Brooklyn's thoughts about President Trump standing up to the Chinese. I'll let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
Well, I'm delighted because it's a very important point. Trump really sees them for what they are, and he's taken some very, very important steps to prevent them from totally subverting our entire technical capability. Now, I mentioned Huawei, which has been in the news. It's run by a former high-ranking official of the People's Liberation Army named Ren Zhengfer. And basically, Huawei is the largest producer of electronic equipment in the world, and they've stolen everything they sell.
Oh, geez.
Everything.
From us, probably, right?
They are generally recognized as built totally on international theft of intellectual property.
They sound like Spectre from the James Bond movie.
They're unbelievable. Everything they've got has been stolen from somebody, and they are now the leader in the whole industry. Now, I get back to those fiber optic cables, which are so important. 90% of the internet goes over those cables. Huawei took over Global Marine. The Brits let them do that, and that enabled them to get into the repairing and building these cables. They built three systems entirely on their own, including a 7,900-mile system connecting Africa, Europe, and Asia. That's really their private system, and they've been involved with 90 different projects on most of the other cables. So at this point in time, we don't know in time of war how many of those cables will actually work. Now, what Trump has done is he has stepped in and shut off Huawei from getting all the important parts that they need to re-engineer them and then sell them and put what's left of our various companies out of business. Also, it prevents them from doing further things like compromising those cables, and even more so, their attempt to control 5G mobile communications. The 5G is 20 times more powerful than the 4G.
Could he, in his own way, Richard, be delaying Armageddon by doing this?
Well, Trump is doing is he's giving us a chance to survive. If we had continued the policies that we did under Obama, I don't see how we could have survived a war.
Interesting.
He's taken a number of things to protect our technology that are just invaluable.
He's not getting credit for it, is he?
No, he's getting. They're beating on him relentlessly, and here he's doing the most important things that could be done to guarantee our survival.
Next up, let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hey, Richard. Not the rosiest picture, but two questions. On China, Paul McCartney had a song, Mother Mary. Renaissance had a song, Mother Russia. My question on China, is they trying to, for the moment, position themselves as the mother, disguising themselves, essentially, and I've heard that just in the last month, they've been able to infiltrate people's dreams and propagandize that way. Have you heard of that? And then on Revelation, they said there are three woes in Revelation, and you had the three messages. So I wonder if there's a correlation there. And at the opening of chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, when John opens the door, he heard a voice sounding like a trumpet, and I'd ask you about the instrument of the trumpet.
There are four questions there, Joe. You said you only hit two. So take a couple of them if you want there, Richard.
Well, Joe is a complex thinker, I must say. First of all, what's on China's mind is very venal and temporal. We're talking about a virulently ambitious communist society that wants to dominate the world, just like Stalin wanted to. That's implicit in the DNA of Marxist-Leninism, is to dominate global society. But they don't have enough territory to accommodate their huge population. And they want all of the territory east of the Ural Mountains. It would be a complete, once they get that, there's no way to stop them from being the dominant player on the global scene. And all of this goes back to Mao Zedong's dream of seizing that from Russia. That's what's going to cause World War III. But this is one of the most interesting things that I've had to give a lot of thought to. You see, China's size is both an advantage and a disadvantage. They have to keep raw materials flowing and food into the country. They can't free feed themselves. They're going to come in conflict with the American Navy. And I contend, and I discuss this in the book, that the American Navy will probably play the pivotal role in whether China wins the war or not.
Well, we have a very tough Navy. You know that.
Well, we're going to need it. Now, naval power was decisive in both World War I and World War II. That was the pivotal force that changed both those wars. And ironically, although the Third World War will be on the Siberian plain and be between China and Russia, ironically, our Navy will play the pivotal role. And the reason they weaponized the South China Sea was to keep our Navy away from their shores and their large cities. They already know how important our Navy is going to be. And they recently took the head of their Navy and put him on par with the People's Liberation Army, the infantry. So they now view the high seas as equally important to their success as their army being able to function and project its power on land.
And one of Joe's other questions, he believes the Chinese have the power to infiltrate dreams. I've never heard that yet. Have you?
Well, this is a whole interesting subject, is their efforts with mind control, putting chips into people's brains.
Well, they'd love to control their own population's minds, wouldn't they?
Well, they already are. Before we conclude, I would like to read you a little paragraph about just the extent of their control already over their people.
Go ahead.
You want me to go ahead?
Okay. How long is it?
Oh, it's a fierce. I'll try and condense it.
No, just give me a minute's worth or something. You've got still a million phone calls here.
In China, the security police can locate and imprison anyone within an hour or two or only minutes. Spy cameras are everywhere using advanced facial recognition. All phone calls, as well as communications on the Internet and social media, are monitored constantly.
Gosh.
The movement of all cars and trucks are tracked through implanted chips. I'll just say this.
They're paranoid, aren't they?
No, they want total control.
Total control and paranoia. Tom in La Jolla. Go ahead, Thomas.
Thank you for taking my call. And Richard, may Mother Mary protect you. And great research. Comment and a question. You know, you have Korea, Taiwan, South China Sea, Hong Kong. But there's another point of conflict with China, and that's Tibet. When you look at a map of China, Tibet is like, I dare say, 30-35% of the landmass of China. And you hear rumors, you know, from the Tibetan refugees of like highways being built, secret military installations, possibly secret space launch installations, maybe even ionospheric heaters like HAARP being built in Tibet. And, of course, if you look at Tibet and where it is, you know, in location to India, Afghanistan, Iran, etc., I mean, it seems to be very important. So I was curious, does Tibet play a geopolitical role in the upcoming Armageddon, if any, you know? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, once again, an excellent question. George, you have very well informed.
Well, the best audience in town.
Listeners. Well, they took over Tibet and the East Turkestan Republic, that's Xinjiang province. That doubled China's territory. They immediately stripped off about 40% of the original Tibet and incorporated it into various provinces of China. They've been following a very quiet but relentless process of genocide against the Tibetan people. Their main objective at this point is to siphon off most of the water from the highlands of Tibet, which are the source of 7 important rivers. They have very limited water resources in China, and most of them are polluted. So they've already begun to take that water, which is causing problems in Southeast Asia and in the Mekong Delta. But so you have a relentless ongoing process of genocide against the Tibetans. Now against the Uyghur Muslims, that process is spreading to Xinjiang province. So genocide is to them a one more tool in the toolbox. They've been murdering the Falun Gong and harvesting their organs, and that is now, they estimate they have murdered the equivalent of the number of people that died at Auschwitz. However, the process of murdering those people and harvesting their organs is now an essential part of China's military establishment and its regular programs of implanting these organs in people in 370 state-of-the-art hospitals.
I didn't ask you, Richard, yet about your thoughts about, because of Revelation, the sign of the beast. Where does that come in?
Well, the fascinating thing about Revelation is the symbolism has caused people a lot of trouble. And
sure has.
I go into that in my prior book. I explain that symbolism very clearly. I don't think it's as difficult to understand as people think it is. And numerology plays a very important part in the Book of Revelations. The various numbers, like the number 7 is the number for God, the number 6 is the number for Satan. And you will find very interesting sections of the Book of Revelations. You can trace which are the most important, because things that disclosures fall at key numerologies, points that incorporate the numerology. But I go into all that in that first book.
Would you give out your Twitter feed for people? How can they find you on Twitter? Go ahead.
Thank you for bringing that up. H.R.E. Austin.
H.R.E. Austin?
Yes.
That's how to find you on Twitter.
And I really hope folks become followers, and I will provide them with ongoing information as I think something important comes up. And I've already gotten a very interesting piece of information. The Communist Party is having one of their plenums, and they issued some documents. And I read through them, and there was something in one of them. I almost fell out of my chair.
What was that?
Well, it's an expression. It's their attitude towards the Chinese Communist Party. I told you the Chinese Communist Party no longer runs the country. Well, it's a rather derisive statement. So here they're.
Yeah, you can't say it on the radio, can you?
Well, you have to infer that it's derisive. I don't mean they use some foul language, but it's the tone of their attitude towards the supposedly all-powerful Communist Party. It's actually derisive.
Interesting take. Richard, we're out of time. Get that Twitter feed out to people. They can get more information on what you do. Fascinating discussion. Lots more coming up this week. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.